Welcome back, everybody, to Inside Texas Baseball. As always, I'm your host, Evan Veith, joined by Nash Talks Texas right to my right. And it's a little different this week, Nash, because we are covering the number one team in the sport here. Consensusly, with all the polls having dropped at this point in time, Texas baseball, number one in the nation after Arkansas lost their series. Nash, just as someone who's been around the team for so long, got your tickets to every game in one of the best spots that you can find, for those who aren't aware of Nash's seats and where he is on his Twitter. Just how are you feeling ahead of the rest of the year and where this team is at right now?
I mean, it's hard to imagine feeling like it could get better. I mean, the only way it gets better is if Texas goes down and wins national championship down the road, obviously. But just to be number one, we're in our first year in the SEC, right? Not just number one in the SEC, but number one team overall, number one team in the SEC. We're the lone team that 13-2 in the SEC. Year one in Jim Schlossing. I mean, it feels like a dream, right? It feels like a dream that we're still waiting to wake up from. Maybe Texas does get a little bit of wake up call later in this year, but so far, I mean, it can't get better.
Yeah, and like you said, number one just overall in the SEC after Arkansas drops a series. Kind of the helpful part for Texas was other teams just kind of did their job. You know, Georgia took care of Arkansas in their series, winning 2-1. It seems like a lot of teams just did a good job, and things that also did a good job is Inside Texas with their promotions. A good little transition there, I'd say. $1 for 4 months. Inside Texas is giving you the best overall coverage of everything Texas sports, whether it be baseball with Nash and I, basketball with Keenan and myself on our show on Wednesdays, and obviously spring practice and football. Can't be more in tune with Texas sports than you are here at Inside Texas. $1 for 4 months. It's the best deal in all of college athletics. Go over and sign up at the link that you'll find pretty much anywhere on Inside Texas. Nash, this weekend series for Texas, like I said, got some help from other teams, Arkansas losing, a lot of teams in the top 10, rummaging around, having new spots that they're going to find. But generally, those teams are staying in the same spots. Texas did lose that Saturday game in a 15-inning thriller, a tough one for Texas fans to watch as they dropped to unranked Kentucky. But still, just winning the series, doing your job is enough to get you up to that spot, to the number one spot with a 2-1 win. I think first, when we're talking about the series, you've got to go into the pitching side of things for Texas. And a lot of new faces, Aiden Moffitt, Grayson Saunier, guys who haven't been pitching either at all, really, or just in the SEC much. Which of those guys, of those newer faces, the ones that you're not seeing as much in conference play, impressed you the most with how they pitched this weekend?
I mean, right off the bat, Aiden Moffitt, that's probably the most recent, obviously, because he pitched more recently. But, I mean, he showed some really electric stuff on Saturday, and it's a shame that Texas wasn't able to get a win with an effort like that. But you also go to like a guy like Thomas Burns, who we were thinking maybe later on down the year, we're approaching the time where we were saying, hey, he might get a look at the Sunday slot, but Ruger's got that locked up. So
yeah,
exactly. Tom, I mean, Thomas Burns showing us that, hey, we can have a guy that can go give us effective relief, long relief alongside a guy like Max Grubbs. I mean, you can't ask him much more for that. But the pitching staff this weekend, amazing. Grayson Saunier, this is just kind of a, you know, first real SEC test, you know, coming in as a Texas Longhorn. And, man, he stood up to the task.
Yeah, and I believe it was 3 innings pitched all year, then comes in and gives you 2 1/3 of really good baseball there to end off that Sunday game. And it just, you know, full trust in Schloss to say, hey, you have the rest of the game. You know, Ruger almost got through that 7th inning. You got to come in, make a big out, and then get those next 2 innings. It was a great, great showing from those guys. And I really just did love what I saw from these Saturday pitchers. You know, all the earned runs given up in that Saturday game, 4 of the 5 runs were earned, came from Harrison and Volantis. And Volantis looked great. You thought coming into the 9th inning with him on the mound up one, that's the game. Texas is winning. Gives up a home run, you know, his first earned run in SEC play. You can't get mad at him for anything like that. But you got, what was it, 6, 7 1/3 innings between Moffitt, Flores, Duplantier, and Burns. Duplantier, it looks like his arm slot was even lower than usual. He looked real nasty on Saturday. I thought he gave them a good inning. Then, like you said, Burns, he probably should have been taken out after that single. But, you know, that bunt that goes through, it's not his fault. You know, it's not his fault that those runs came around on that play between Galvan and Schuessler. And just a tired team right there at the end. And 4 innings. 4 strikeouts, only 3 hits earned or given up in extra innings. Pretty great performance. And then, as always, Riojas was solid on Sunday. Good games from Spencer as well. It just seems like the staff is really showing off why they're probably the number one in the country at this point. On the other side of things, though, Nash, the bats did get a little cold this weekend, and this is now the second straight series where only one game over five runs, or seven with Georgia, six with Kentucky. Missouri is really the only series we've seen the team recently get a lot of runs going, and there's a lot of things you can point to, but why do you think the bats were a little bit colder on the weekend, and what needs to get changed a little bit heading into the next series?
I mean, I don't necessarily think I have a reason why the bats got cold. I mean, it's just people have heard me say this all year long. Base hitting specifically is a very streaky, baseball is a very streaky sport, and hitting specifically is a big part of that. And I mean, the bats are going to get hot and they're going to get cold. And right now we're in a cold stretch, but this also goes to show the importance of hitting and fielding, not hitting, pitching and fielding. I mean,
exactly.
It's one of the reasons why, because pitching is probably one of the only things that's going to stay consistent in baseball. And that's one of the reasons why pitching is such a paramount in this sport. But you look at guys like a guy like Will Gasperin, he started to get cold, but then on Sunday he started to get hot. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I really did like was on the Sunday day, our top end of the lineup, who really was, they were the guys that were getting cold, right? It was like our 1-5 guys were getting ice cold, and
Flores, Mendoza.
They were the only guys with a hit on Sunday, so they really kind of carried the team into a victory. But I mean, I'm not really too worried, but we'll have to. It will start to worry me if it continues to go through multiple weekends.
Yeah, and you're glad that Sunday was the day where it seemed like the guys who you're counting on are the guys getting hits. Mendoza and Flores, his numbers have creeped a little bit low. They're in the 700s in OPS in SEC play. Schuessler's been consistently good, not great this season. You're wanting to see the power show up a little bit more. I really didn't have that much of a problem with the offense on Friday and Sunday. It was fully that Saturday game where it just felt like every at-bat was uncompetitive. They're making a 7 ERA pitcher look like Cy Young out there. And the Longhorns really did struggle to hit on that Saturday. I think it was maybe five innings straight between extras in the ninth inning where they didn't get a runner on from a base hit and also didn't get a runner on second base. It was just a rough outing from the bats that day. But like you said, we have some people who are very critical of Will Gasperino in our game threads and on our website. I think Gasperino's had an awesome year. And I think him showing up again just shows he may be a streaky hitter. That may be what he's going to be labeled at here. But when he is on that hot streak, it is the balls are going 105, 110 miles an hour every time it leaves the bat. I think the real problem that you're seeing with this lineup, that I think it's no longer a secret what's coming down to, it is this left field spot is just a sore thumb, a broken thumb at this point with this team, because I feel like this Jane Duplantier experiment, it has run its course a little bit. 16 at-bats in the SEC, not a single hit. Easton Winfield, coming into the year, I thought this would have been fine. It would have been okay to have an outfielder go down because of Winfield and Farmer's depth. But Winfield's really just not been able to hit the ball well. He's seeing the ball all right. He's walked a little bit, but really you can see those stats on the screen right there. 111, 495 OPS in OPS in SEC play. Rodriguez got out there. He played a game. Obviously isn't fully comfortable at the position. Isn't fully comfortable hitting yet. What is your solution to this left field spot? Because it feels like there's the ninth best hitter is never in the lineup when the left field position is in.
Bring Max Blue back.
Yeah, right.
That's actually
imagine Juju to work.
Just root for Max Blue to get on back as soon as possible. But I mean, I just people that know me, they know I'm I try to be very as pro player as possible. But I mean, I'm not going to sit there and tell somebody it's raining, it's raining lemonade when somebody's taking a piss on them. And right now, just Jaden Duplantier, just being objective, it's not working out, right? I mean, forget the SEC. He does have the hits versus Sam Houston, Texas State. I personally I question how much that Sam Houston one should be rolled a hit. It's just he has not hit the ball well, not just this in the SEC, but just overall this year. And, he's a sub-100. I struggle to understand why we're putting a sub-100 hitter in at the pinch hitter or DH slot. Like a guy like Cole Chamberlain, for example, is a great example of another sub-100 hitter in the SEC. But I can at least go, I've seen that bat work. I've seen the power in the bat. I've seen like there's a lot of upsides that I can see too. And also he just generally gets a lot of walks, right?
Mm-hmm. He's got a good
eye. Same with Easton Winfield. I mean, at this point, I wouldn't mind a guy walking every now and then before, you know, gets out. But to me, I really want to see a guy like Matthew Scott or even potential Jonah Williams, you know, get a legit shot out there at left field. Matt Scott, I know those of you all that followed it, his bat is hot. That guy, this is a guy that he could be put in the lineup and he could just start hitting home runs and people go, oh,
it's some nukes.
Why, where was this guy all year? That's just one of the things where I'm like, hey, unless a guy is offering you just elite defense out there, give some of these other guys a shot, because it's hard to imagine a defensive fall off, and it's just not getting the job's just not being getting done. And the
it feels like Duplantier's ceiling is very capped as a left fielder, and just as a player, you're seeing the swing has been uncompetitive at times. He's not a natural left fielder either. At least Winfield is, like you said, and I do think there's 9 players that really, without Blue, separate themselves as at least competitive SEC hitters. You know, Jaquay Stewart didn't have a great series. Neither did Rodriguez. I can sort of chalk up Rodriguez, too. You're coming back from injury. He was awesome against LSU. His numbers overall in the year are still very good. He's going to be an important part of this team. But figuring out what to do with Stewart, Borba, and Rodriguez and trying to get all 3 of them in the lineup is going to be hard for Slauson. Okay. Can Borba or Rodriguez play in left field? I don't think Stewart can, for sure. So can you get those guys both in the lineup together while also having Stewart at DH? Can Stewart play if Rodriguez and Borba are both playing? That's the big question for me, is can you get those 9 players along with, you know, the 6 that are pretty solid with, you know, Farmer, Galvano, all the players we've already mentioned. Can we get those 3 together? If not, and that's kind of what it seems like it's going to be if Rodriguez is not going to field the left field position very well, I agree with you. Like, we saw the pitching staff get experimented a lot this weekend. You can't afford to experiment a lot in these next few weeks, really. It's the SEC, it's a gauntlet. But, you know, after Max Ballew, in just the image you're looking at right here, it's Rodriguez, then Ballew, then Duplantier, Chamberlain, Winfield is the next 3 guys. Can we take those 3 at-bats, those, what is that, 37 in SEC play so far, and can we transform those into Scott, Williams, Sam Richardson, who's another power bat coming in? Can we give those out a little bit more? Maybe keep Winfield in there. Maybe that's the guy who's the ceiling you like. But
yeah, absolutely.
You just want to see at least some of those Chamberlain and Duplantier at-bats going somewhere else, because I do like Chamberlain as well. He just might not be ready, and I don't think he fits the spot that you need to fill, which is left field. I don't think he's going to go out there and play that. So, like you said, I think that Matthew Scott is the guy for me, where I would love to see him get a start this weekend and just see what happens. Maybe it's a Tuesday. Maybe it's against Auburn. But after that, I think it's still a good series for Texas overall, and you got what you needed, of course, because you're the number one team in the nation.
Yeah, I think that I kind of had a couple back and forths with Max Ballew's dad on Twitter, and even if we lost 2 of the games, we learned a lot about this Texas team. Mm-hmm. Because even when their bats aren't showing up, they're still going to go out there and they're still going to scratch and they're still going to fight. Going into fifth, I was upset losing on a bunt, right? But getting into the 15th inning, crazy shit happens, right? Like, it's just like,
yeah,
it's baseball, right? The weird stuff is going to start happening, especially when you start getting into late innings and like wear and tear starts to come, you know, fatigue starts to come into play. But to watch our pitching staff go out there and actually, you know, do a really, really good job throughout multiple innings of relief, I mean, I couldn't help but sit there and think, man, like this is the type of stuff that gives you confidence in going into the, like, because I mentioned it, this is like kind of almost the one thing that we haven't seen out of the pitching staff yet. It's like the one question that looms, because you need a deep staff to be able to advance in the tournament consistently. And if we're going to get what we got out of our pitching staff from this weekend in Kentucky, if we get that in this in the regionals, the super regionals, and potentially Omaha down the road, this gave me a lot of confidence moving forward.
Yeah, now the staff is, what, 10, 11 deep for these, at least in theory, for the rest of these series. I agree with you. It's still a 2-1 series win. That over extra innings loss, you know, in hockey, you get a point for that. That's basically what that felt like with, when you're going almost a full second game there. A lot of great things going on here in Texas, and one of those things is, of course, Laura Baker.
Hi, I want to tell you about Laura Baker. If you're looking for a new home in the 512 or even at this point, let's face it, 737 area code, there's only one number to call. That's Laura Baker at 512-784-0505. As a member of the elite Andy Allen team with Keller Williams, Laura has helped Longhorns find the home of their dreams in Central Texas. Just ask our resident sex symbol, Ian Boyd, who moved all the way from Michigan to Texas with Laura's help. Laura can help you find what you're looking for in the 512, the 737, or even parts of the 254 and the 210. Just, you know, give her a call at 512-784-0505. Her email is in the description as well as the rest of her contact details. She's a friend. Give her a call.
So Texas, going into a series against Auburn, who, like we've already talked about, they're a great baseball team. This is a top 10 team. They just got done sweeping LSU. Which was just LSU had gotten up to number three. Obviously, Texas knows about beating LSU, but even they didn't get a sweep. So, a series of LSU beaters, at least here, as Auburn comes into town. You're first getting a game against UTRGV. Hopefully, it's a game that Texas can kind of speed up on some smaller competition, win against, you know, get a guy like Scott in. But this Auburn scouting report, I think, starts immediately with the pitching in Samuel Dutton on Fridays, who an LSU transfer who's been electric this year, really giving you some awesome pitching there. And you're following up with Carson Myers, who's their kind of their Dylan Volantis, not quite as good, but that Friday pitching lineup is really strong from Auburn. And I think that's where you're going to see, you know, the end of the Texas order really, really get tested. And can they keep up? What are you seeing as the keys or just important parts of beating a team as good as Auburn, who I think is about the 7-8 team in the nation right now?
Yeah. I mean, if Homer can pull up the little graphic that I have for comparing the two teams' statistics, I mean, The term that comes to my mind when I'm looking at this Auburn team, jack of all trades, master of none. They're not going to be the best team in the nation in any one particular category, but they're going to be there in all. They're going to be right there in every single one of them.
They're around.
They just across the board, they can hit the ball really well. They have other, you know, guys that consistently stay in the lineup. Seven of those guys are over 300 or batting, I believe, over 300 on the season. And that right there is just, yeah, 6, 7. Seven of nine spots are batting over 300. That, like,
yeah,
like that, that's not normal, right? This is a really good team, really deep team. You just, there's no letdowns. All their guys hit about, it reminds me a lot of what we thought that this Texas offense was going to be going into the year.
Yeah.
And like, there's no letdowns at all in the lineup. They all hit home runs. They all hit about the same amount of home runs. They all hit doubles. This is just a really good team. It's a really fun team to watch. And then also the pitching, the pitching is the statistics, I think, look a little bit better. Just as a whole, and it goes to show really kind of like the group mentality that they have. Like, we're not going to have really, if you were just, you know, box score scout and go to their pitching tab, you'd be like, well, yeah, there's the Dutton guy. And then a lot of fives and sixes coming up after that, right, on the ERA spot. But at the same time, this is just a really good team. And I think that it goes to show, like, with the amount of guys that pitch multiple innings, they're kind of very Georgia-ish in the fact that if they got a pitcher giving them something, they're just going to let them go, right?
They're
going to have another guy that's going to come on in, and they're just going to be able to keep on testing guys until one sticks, kind of like throwing pickles at a wall. But so, I mean, am I really too worried about the pitching staff? Not really, but at the same time, Texas bats have been kind of cold, so maybe that's something that works out for Auburn. But I'm really excited for the series, man.
Yeah, it's more than anything that you're looking over at the Texas side of things, and it's in the hundreds for all these things. You know, I don't think a 286 batting average is anything terrible, but you know, it's 112th in the nation. The on base is what really sticks out to me, under 400. It's this Auburn lineup is about 10 or 11 deep, like you were mentioning. Texas is, I think you'd say 8 deep. I don't even know if you're saying 9 at this point without looking.
It's 7-8 right now.
Yeah, and if you're not getting a lot from Farmer and Stewart's bats, so like you said, I think my big X factor here is what can you get from the corner outfield spots? Is this lineup going to be able to stretch down to the 7, 8, 9 guys? Is every game going to feel like the Sunday Kentucky game where your first five hitters are giving you awesome at-bats, but then what's going on when it gets to Farmer, Stewart? Is Rodriguez going to be back? Are you going to get anything good from Winfield or Scott? And I think the Auburn pitching staff being able to stretch themselves so much, and you know they're going to be ready to unload the tank. This is a big circle series for both these teams. They're going away to the dish. Even just stealing one game from Texas is a huge win for them. But you know, how important for the momentum from a team like Auburn, who's they've had some bad losses. That's why they're not a top five team. I think they're up to that 10 loss mark, and some of them have been ugly. But can you get a statement win? And your SEC record is what's important at this point. And that 15 win mark is exactly what Slossingle always talks about. And can Auburn creep into that with a win here in Austin? It's just going to be a fun weekend here in Austin, which I'm excited for. Just from the fan side of things, it's going to be a great few weeks here. And I'm looking forward to just being back at the dish. I don't know about you, but this Kentucky series just felt like I was like, man, I'm just sitting at home watching these games. It's not as fun as being back around and back in Austin.
No, it isn't. And also, I'll say, ironically, it's even in the close games, right? It's not as fun sitting there when your heart, like, because in the dish, like, you're invested, man. You're like, okay,
yeah, right.
Like, am I gonna have the worst drive home in the world, or am I gonna be sitting there like, got the music on 50? You know, you got it on blast, right? But I mean, yeah, just what an absolute series coming up with Auburn. Can the pitching staff really kind of we're gonna, like, it looks like the pitching staff, we're gonna need a really solid outing from them. But like you said, like, they got that Friday start. It just starts with going on Friday, and at this point Texas has we got a target on our back. Mm-hmm. Being the number one team in the nation, every single team is going to want a piece of this, and that's just going to start with Auburn. It's going to carry on with Texas A&M, and it's going to go on to Arkansas after that.
We got that number. Yeah, you finish your thought.
I was going to say, we got a very, very tough stretch coming up here.
Yeah, we do. And speaking of that number one team here, we've been updating this graphic every week this year. It almost felt like fate that this Nash Talks Texas baseball graphic of where they've been saying, if you want to pull them up, Homer, where they've been standing in all things. We've just been going down the line more and more. It's almost like it's been scripted the way it's gone down. Number one, number one, number one, all the way through the six polls that you see here, whether it be D1 baseball, who had them at preseason number 19, or Perfect Game, who we thought they were hasty putting us at number seven, or putting Texas at number seven, and now a number one team in the nation. They've been a top 2-1 consensusly the last 2 weeks, but just this Texas team has been so solid throughout, and obviously we've been going on the hitting. It's almost like you have to find something wrong when you're the number one team, because you can't go up anymore. You gotta find ways to critique what can knock you off your pedestal. But what do you think this team needs to do in the next 5 weeks to keep that number one spot consistently throughout and keep winning these series 2-1, 3-0, 2-1 against teams like Auburn, Arkansas, and of course the Texas A&M series in 2 weeks?
I mean, to just really it sounds so cliche to say this, right? But just show up and compete. You just if you go out there and you have a competitive series, like you look at this week, Arkansas, they dropped the series to Georgia, right? But due to having such a competitive series versus such a good team, they only drop one spot, right? Like, it the only reason why Texas is sitting at number one and Arkansas is at number two is because Texas swept Georgia at home. Mm-hmm. If we go 2-1, I think Arkansas is still number one team right now. Like, so it's just one of those things where they have to do it, right? There's honestly just no explaining it. But I just keep going back to our producer, Homer. One of the things that he said earlier in the year, we've earned every last little bit. Like, this is not a deal where Texas was this overhyped team. And, like, this felt real around week five, week six. And it's you know, hindsight's 2020. It's easy to see why this felt real, right? Like I just said, not an overhyped team, right? But we just had to keep on earning every single last little bit. So it'll be interesting to see if they can just continue to hold on to that number one spot and throughout the rest of the year. But man, what a fun season this has been. Keeping track of this, and also, hey man, Perfect Game. Y'all were onto something.
Yeah, right. And I think part of it for me as well is just someone who's just been covering the team and kind of taken up blocks of what's been happening. It really feels like there's been little eras of this team just in the one season. You start off as this really green team that you almost lose games to Dartmouth. You lost a game to Louisville to start the year. it felt like there's some roadblocks ahead when they were number 12 in the country or number 15, and then you get over to a really good stretch from Incarnate Word all the way to UTSA loss. And it's like, you know, they lose two straight to UTSA and LSU. Are they gonna be able to compete with the big guns? And then suddenly they win two against LSU and they sweep Georgia 2 weeks later. And that's when it's like, man, this not only is this team good, they're great. This is an awesome baseball team. This pitching staff is real. It's not like last year's pitching staff that had 5.5 ERA or whatever it was at. So there's just so much left to pay attention to. Starting this Thursday, there's a lot to pay attention to as Auburn comes in. It's a Thursday through Saturday game with Easter weekend. Texas State, they're playing there in San Marcos on Tuesday and then hosting A&M through the 27th. From the 17th to the 27th, you've got 10 days and 7 games of unbelievable Texas baseball that you got to pay attention to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like one thing that kind of stands out to me too is you look at like the Texas poll tracker, go back 2 to 3 weeks. That's where Auburn is right now.
Yeah.
Auburn was this unranked team. They we can enter them in the rankings. Oh, this team's actually kind of good. Okay. This team. Oh, wait, they're a top 10 team. Oh, wait, they swept LSU. Right. I can't think of a better opponent for Texas to face once we've gotten that number one ranking, because it does feel like Texas is about to go and play themselves with just different uniforms on. They even got a guy with blue. They even got a blue guy.
They do have a blue. That's right. We should have mentioned that earlier. It is almost poetic. And yeah, as we're just talking about the gauntlet they're going to run through, I didn't even mention at the end that, oh, you're done with those 10 days of games. You got Prairie View A&M, and then you got to go at to Arkansas, the number two team. So it doesn't feel like Texas is going to be able to let up their foot on the gas until, you know, after that May 3rd Saturday game at Arkansas. And then you got Florida struggling, and then you're going to Oklahoma. So it's just a lot going on. Football mode. Schlossnagel is 29-5 heading into the Tuesday game tomorrow against UTRGV. 13 wins at home. A win this against Arkansas series, and he hits that 15-win mark that basically guarantees you a postseason baseball. So a lot of good stuff going on here in Austin. A lot of fun baseball ahead for the next 10 to 15 days. So as always, it's been a fun one, Nash. Not an Inside Texas Baseball without some behind-the-scenes problems, but we've got this out for y'all, got everything we want to get into. A pretty filled episode for, I think, about 30, 40 minutes of runtime. So any last words to say, Nash, before we can log off?
Just do not lose to UTRGV 9-17, please. I mean, good Lord. That still stings. That's one of the last times. Like, that is one of the worst times I've ever had in the dish. I remember just sitting there like, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to watch every last second of this because, like, to – Bill, and then also, it's kind of like it's almost like poetic bringing that up because like that felt like the lowest point of my fandom, right? Yeah. Like sitting there, going like arms crossed, just like, am I really, really watching this right now? Is this happening in front of me? Yes, it is. But it led to us being the number one team in the nation right now.
Yeah, all things lead to this to one number, the number one team. One orange brick road. Inside Texas, as always, is having their $1 for 4 months sale, spring practice. Homer, if you could put up that graphic one more time before we sign off. It's just the best sale you can have in college sports and college athletics. There you go, $1 for 4 months. New members only, sorry to our consistent subscribers, but you're going to see a lot of great content from Nash and I this week as we write a little bit about baseball. I'm writing on football as well, basketball, just so much stuff. Recruiting is really heating up in football. It's not in four quarters anymore. He's got the crisp dollar bill right there. That was a crisp dollar bill. That was straight out of the press right there. Nash, thank you so much for being on, as always. Homer behind the scenes doing the Lord's work, dealing with us too. And Texas baseball, thanks for being such a fun team to cover and to talk about throughout these, you know, feels like it's been yesterday that we started this podcast, but we've been going for months now at this point. But thank you so much, everyone, for listening along. I've been your host, Evan Beats, as well as Nash Talks Texas. We will see y'all next Monday.
Okay.